September 25th, the new Fox Tuesday kicks off with New Girl's new season. Then welcome Ben and Kate.
Stay away from my sister before you find out what 6 years of Krav Maga feels like.
Well, like year and a half plus like 4 years on and off I was traveling.
Followed by another all-new New Girl.
What am I looking at here?
Pure, unadulterated friendship.
And the Mindy Project.
Can't believe you're tattling.
Tattling is when a little girl does it, okay? When a hot woman does it, it's called whistleblowing.
The new Fox Tuesday, from your September 25th on Fox.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene
Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Grey's Anatomy After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Grey's Anatomy After Show.
Yes, we are here. Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, Bing is for doing, and you are checking out the preview for Grey's Anatomy After Show on AfterBuzz TV. I'm Jason J. Carter, one of your hosts. Hello, friend.
Hi, I'm Kelly.
Hi, I'm Jen.
And I am Julie Parton, and this is my first AfterBuzz show.
Oh, great. Well, congratulations. Glad to have all of you guys
so much.
Here. Wow. Grey's Anatomy.
Mm-hmm.
Going to be 9 seasons of an amazing show, and it's one of those shows that I feel has changed the face of television. Since its debut in 2005, it's won several awards. It's launched so many careers of superstar actors and just musicians. So many beautiful things have spawned from this show. And I'm just so glad to be here talking about it tonight.
Yeah, I remember watching the pilot with my mom because I still lived at home as a teenager. And I kept thinking, they are playing that music over the voices. I can't stand the show. I can't hear what they're saying. And then all these seasons later, I don't think I could live without the soundtrack. It's my new favorite thing about the show.
I agree. Let's give a little bit of history about Grey's. Debuted March 27, 2005. Shonda Rhimes is the creator of Grey's Anatomy. And if you know who Shonda Rhimes is, she actually wrote Crossroads for Britney Spears, the movie that it was not a flop, but it wasn't one of her best.
I didn't know that.
Yes, Shonda Rhimes.
Wow. I didn't know that either.
That's a fun fact.
She shopped the show around to a lot of people, and ABC picked it up as a mid-season replacement. And from then on, it's just been a hit after hit. From the first season was an abbreviated season because it premiered in March. But the following season, full 22 episodes were ordered. And so many moments came out of season 2 that were just were unforgettable. The bomb scene, Meredith sticking her hand in the guy's cavity with the bomb.
That was season 2?
Season 2.
Mm-hmm. That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
So, it feels like yesterday.
I know, right?
So many things. And the characters that have come and we've grown to love on the show and we've grown to call our friends. And I know, you know, talking to people about Grey's Anatomy out in public, they're so bewildered by how passionate we are about this show. But there's reasons for why this show is so exquisite. One, they focus on interracial relationships.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the storyline between Adele, the chief, Meredith's mom, just the backstory alone is magnificent.
What about Yang and...
And Burke.
Burke.
Mm-hmm. I can't remember his name, but yeah, I loved him, actually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, and then the whole premise of the show, them being in a hospital, there's so many medical dramas on television, and what really made Grey's Anatomy stand out from the rest of the medical dramas was just, one, the music.
Right.
Every scene was perfectly matched with the perfect song. I remember hearing Keane's Somewhere Only We Know and at the end of episode 4, A Hard Day's Night,
right,
where Meredith was getting on the elevator, and she wore the same shoes as the girl who was raped, and she made a connection with that girl, and that song was such a sprawling, huge song, and it fits so well. And then she's walking out to the parking lot thinking, like, this is where my life's going to be with these people.
Right.
Because as she was talking to her mom, Ellis, that was in the Alzheimer's home, or the convalescent home, sorry, Alzheimer's home. She was saying, like, you know, I like these people. They're my new friends. I think you'd like them, too. And just the way this show just ties in so many different emotions is just so riveting to me.
Right. I don't necessarily think it was as groundbreaking as much as that off and on has been a guilty pleasure for me. Like, it's not always the best show, and I don't like how they all almost die and all their family members almost die, but I can't get enough of it. I'm sad every week that it's over. And I think the reason that I connected to it so much is that Shondala set out to make these characters that were unapologetically ambitious.
Right.
Like, going for it, following their dreams, kicking butt, taking names. And I think in that phase of my life, those were the kind of characters I needed to see. You know, I wasn't relating to the housewives or anything, but I was relating to these people that were taking on a career they didn't feel capable of and just owning it.
Owning it. Mm-hmm. I think that what I agree with you, Julie, that each of those characters, for me, I could identify with something that was going on with my life at the moment, like Yang and her being so ambitious and being a little cold and detached in order to be successful. Because sometimes you have to sacrifice everything for something.
Yeah.
You know, and what I love about Shonda Rhimes' writing and her team is that she wrote all those characters to be played by anybody. Bailey was not supposed to be an African-American woman.
Right, yeah.
Yang was not supposed mm-hmm. to be... anyone could play those
when
characters.
When they were originally casting, they didn't have any race on the castings. They were just going to see who embodied the character the best.
Right.
Well, I love Meredith.
Your favorite?
She's my favorite. And I've got to say, ever since and Yang called each other their person.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know a two best friend duo that hasn't used that phrase.
Yep.
You know, even when you say it's like your boyfriend or girlfriend, it's like you're my person. That's just the best way to describe it.
And it's so funny because it came about of being in case of emergency. Like, that's what it was. It was their in case of emergency person. And that's how they started that, is because they needed somebody to put on their... It was... I can't remember what the situation was, but it was something that happened that they needed to put in case of emergency thing.
That's probably another reason we all relate to it so much. Yeah. You move away from your family and you got to find new people.
Right.
Your new support system is your friends and your coworkers.
Yeah. And I think that it was really cool of this show to have a title character that wasn't that well established at all, especially in a time when a lot more big stars were moving to television. So to have the character of Meredith be played by somebody that wasn't like necessarily a big name. The only thing I knew her from was Old School.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I had just seen her from. And then she was, you know, big on this show.
So when they were casting, they were saying, we need somebody who's really, really likable, but also could be a victim, like the girl in Moonlit Mile. Mm-hmm. And then after a couple weeks, one of the people said, I think we can get that girl from Moonlit Mile. And that's how she ended up on the show.
Which, I mean, 8 years later, I can't imagine Grey's Anatomy with a different Meredith.
No, absolutely not.
Mm-mm. I don't care how many times her hair color changes, because she's blonde. She's a brunette. She's
and
blonde.
I don't care how old she really is in real life. To me, she will always be like a resident.
Yeah. Yeah.
She just, Meredith embodies that, her character so well. Even from the first show, she was, again, likable, precocious, but almost like a victim, and you kind of feel bad for her. In addition to all the drama and baggage that she has, she's a heroine. Grey's Anatomy, the females on Grey's are clearly the standout stars of the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Every monologue that's heart-wrenching, anything that is so powerful has been delivered by the females. And I do think it's because Shonda and her team, she has mostly a team of female writers.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have a different, I guess, perspective on things, but the women are not weak by no stretch of the imagination. None of the women on the show, Izzy, April, Yang, Meredith, Adele, Bailey, Teddy, anyone that has been on the show as a female has been strong
Callie.
In some way. Callie.
Mm-hmm.
Callie, Arizona, in some way, shape, or form has had to put their foot down and make it happen. The only thing I will say that I don't like about the women is that sometimes they are a little bit too intense, like Addison.
Yeah.
She walks in. And for those who don't know who Addison is, Addison Montgomery Shepherd was Dr. Shepherd's ex-wife, who made a stellar intro at the end of season one.
She look so fierce or what?
Fierce.
That was probably one of the best television moments I've seen in a long time, and also the most heart-wrenching.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You put yourself in Meredith's shoes and you're like, no.
She had no
Meredith
idea.
Looked so young and so weak at that moment compared to Addison.
Because Addison, black, always in black, just...
I think she had fur on.
She had fur.
Probably, yeah. Very New York, very chic, all
Upper
of
East
that.
Side.
Like, there to take charge. She was like, I will take my husband back.
And then that brought in McSteamy.
Right.
Oh, that was a character entrance to the show that I can't imagine it without now.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
He definitely, Eric Dane definitely was hot.
He's always going to be steamy to me. If he's in another... movie, show, anything, I don't care, steamy.
What's crazy about it is that it could be on this long and changing out characters this much, and still we feel like they've been there the whole time. But some of them just came in last season. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure they'll bring in a whole new crop of people for this upcoming season that will think, really, they weren't there since the pilot?
Right, because that's the beauty of Shonda. They know, Shonda Rhimes and her team knows how to enter. It's like a puzzle. And every character, well, okay, I won't say every character, because there has been some characters that are like, I mean, they're okay, but...
When Mercy West and Seattle Grace merged, I was like, ooh, I don't like this.
Yeah, you know what I didn't like about that season? I felt like they wrote them all onto the show to all be killed off in the finale.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That was such a bummer.
Well, Percy and Reed, for sure. Yeah. For sure. They're one season. You guys are temporary. One season.
I know. I almost forgot who they were.
But Grey's, the thing about Grey's, though, too, is that, again, the writing, they find a way to give everyone enough to make it matter in the show. You know how sometimes you have, okay, even when George was on his way out, O'Malley, because, you know, he was done with Grey's in season
that
5.
That was a weird storyline, though, right, with him and Callie and then that whole marriage.
And him and him and everyone.
Him and everyone. Basically. Poor O'Malley.
He ran through that group.
But even though he was on less than normal, his character mattered. They still made his character significant enough to still be an essential part of the show.
And I'm pretty sure they brought in and killed off most of his family members, too.
It wouldn't kill off his mom.
No?
His dad. His dad was the one who died. Two brothers and the mom, and then the dad died. Remember when he was having the issue with Burke operating on the husband because of his fidgety hand?
Oh, yeah.
And Christina was doing it?
Oh, right.
Right. Remember season three.
So we're obviously tried and true super fans that have been watching for almost a decade. Yeah. I just want to hear a little bit about your guys' Grey's journey.
Well, my Grey's journey started out, again, I was watching TV one day, and they're talking Grey's Anatomy, and my mom's a medical professional, so she was like, that's a book. And then I started watching. I watched sporadically the first season, and I bought it on DVD. And when you always know when you buy something on DVD, you can really get into it more because there's no commercials, there's no distraction, you watch it at your own time. And from then, it was just so... I was going through a breakup at that time. I was, you know, trying to move out to Los Angeles. I just identified with so many of the stories and what they were going through. So from then on, it was amazing. And then it always premieres on my birthday, September 27th, or around there. And so it's just, I've been hooked in the music. Music colors so many situations in so many people's lives. And I feel sorry for anyone who doesn't realize that. We tie so many things to scent and music. And just everything, you know, The Fray, Snow Patrol, Tegan and Sarah.
The Fray. I forgot. That's where they got their break, right?
Mm-hmm. Huge. How to Save a Life was one of the most downloaded songs of 2006 because of Grey's Anatomy and because of how Grey's Anatomy tied it into their promos. And Grey's Anatomy was about feeling. It was about emotion. And people, I think that was what was missing from television at that time.
It causes you to empathize.
Totally.
Yeah, so what about you guys? Where'd you start out?
Me next? I have been watching since the very beginning, and I think I started watching with my mom, which then became watching with college friends, which then I moved to LA and started watching with LA friends. And I actually had a hard time taking the show because I was like, well, then that means I have to part from my watching friends. Mm-hmm. You know, now we actually have to separate and watch separately, and that's just not that cool. But you know what? It's worth it. The show to me is like part of my life almost at this point, and it's something I look forward to every week. It kind of is like comforting in its own weird way because it's so filled with drama that, I mean, I don't know how it's comforting, and there's like blood and guts flying everywhere. But between the music, like you said, and the characters, you feel like you have a place in the story, even though you're not in it at all. Mm-hmm. And you don't know medicine, clearly. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think they just really do a good job to bring you in because you can either relate to someone on the cast, the music, some story that happens in the episode, or really just anything. It's just great television, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mine's definitely pretty similar because I've lived in 4 states since I started watching the show. All different groups of people, and yet it's the one constant, you know? Mm-hmm. And I lived in South Orange County for 2 years, and we had watch parties every Thursday night. Then moving up to L.A., I haven't had anyone to watch it with, so I'm kind of excited to finally have people to watch it with again because I've been relying on message boards and things like that.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I started watching it from the very beginning, and it was right around the time that I just moved to L.A. And so, you know, and I've worked in entertainment the whole time I've been here, and when you work in a situation like that, it's almost, I mean, it's not as crazy, obviously, as like a hospital, but it's one of those situations where you're only around the people that you work with. Mm-hmm. So that's the most of the people that you see all the time because your hours are long and you know, whatever happened. So it was very relatable. And just watching the situations with Meredith and how fragile her character was and seeing her interactions with you know, everyone on the show and her finding her own place and all of that. It was just, I just liked it immediately. And my mom's a nurse, so she, you know, so we would watch it, you know, we would call each other, talk about it and watch it. And, you know, she would go through and, you know, make fun. Well, this was wrong and this was wrong. So what? The story's good.
Yeah.
But it was still just kind of comforting to watch them go all through these different scenarios all together and having to deal with, you know, being mad at somebody, but you still have to see them every day, or being in love with somebody, but you still have to see them every day. And it was just kind of fun to watch all of that,
Sure.
You know, just being here. So, and it's just gotten better and better. I mean, there are some moments that I thought, but for the most part, it's just been such a great, fun show to watch them grow.
Mm-hmm. There are seasons, or parts of season arcs, I like to call them, because there's an arc in a show where they, you know, that have been less than, that aren't really giving me, since we're so connected to the show, we know what we want to get out of it. We have an appetite for it, right? You have an appetite for Grey's. You're like, okay, this week I need to feel this, and sometimes you're not going to get that. There's some shows like the music episode, and we'll get into that. There's just certain episodes where I'm just like,
the musical episode.
Or the crossover events. No, thank you. I don't need to have Private Practice.
I don't want to watch both shows. Right. I want to watch one of them.
Right. I did watch Private Practice for a while.
I couldn't
sink my teeth into it the way that I watched this show.
Right.
The characters, I don't know if they were older or they just weren't as realistic.
They were.
It just wasn't, I couldn't stick with it. And this one I've stuck with for 8-9 years. That one, maybe a season or two.
I don't know, maybe too, if it was Addison and the way she came in, and I never really was a fan of hers in the beginning.
She was
so
hard
I didn't
to
necessarily
like.
Want to follow her, I think, maybe.
And her hair color, it was just an
awkward
kind of red.
It's too red.
It's too red. AfterBuzzers, if you're just tuning in, we're talking about Grey's Anatomy, and you're watching the AfterBuzz TV show for Grey's Anatomy, the after show for Grey's Anatomy, my bad. And if you have missed any of the seasons, you can go onto iTunes and download them, and you can also rate us on iTunes and comment on the after show as well. We have an iPhone, iPod app you can download where you can get all your favorite AfterBuzz podcasts right on your iOS device. It's super, super cool. Comment us, rate us. If you're huge Grey's Anatomy fans like we are, please give us feedback. Any tidbits you have on the show that we don't know, spoilers, inside information, we want to know it all. We're hungry. We like the drama. We like the truth. And that's the truth. Do it with AfterBuzz TV. Thank you very much. Now, back to the show.
Okay.
Season 8 was one for the books, ladies and gentlemen. From start to finish. Okay, Meredith and screws up at the end of season 7.
Yeah,
steals a baby.
Oh my goodness,
steals little Zola. Steals little Zola.
She's cute, by the way.
She's so cute. But the whole story leading up to that, can I just say that I was pretty upset that Derek was so mad at her about that. About everything. Yes, what she did was wrong.
About the medical trial.
Right. Mm-hmm. I understand that. This is a very important thing. But the reasoning behind it, mm-hmm. you know, it was still wrong, and I think that she was still wrong for it. But the way he was, I thought he was just so unbelievably mean in a way that he didn't need to be.
I didn't get mad at him as much as I did Karev.
Of course.
I couldn't believe Karev did that. I mean, that's the thing that lasts him chief resident. Because mm-hmm. Owen said, you have just turned on the one person that everyone here likes.
Right. You mm-hmm. unanimously likes. And getting back to McDreamy, he's my least favorite character on the show. Reason being is because...
He's bland.
All the time. He'll go from hi to, get out of my face, Meredith, I can't
believe that's true.
But he's I can't not- look at you. I hate you. Goodbye.
He is not stable with his emotions.
No, at all. And Meredith is like, okay, like when he kills what's-her-face and Jennifer, you know, hi, I'm Jen. The girl botches the head surgery. He goes into the woods, hits the ring into the woods. Go home, Meredith. All this stuff. It's like, dude, you're just too much. You're too much for being this neurosurgeon. And then all of a sudden, an elevator love letter, which is in season 7, where he goes in and to apologize to Meredith, he puts up all their surgeries together, and he's all freshly shaven and cleaned up. No, thank you, dude. No, I would rather be consistent. If you're going to be a douchebag, be a consistent douchebag. However, I don't also agree with Shonda having a little Malawi baby. Zola being, come on, it's like the trendy thing to have. Madonna has
you
Malawi
You don't agree
baby.
With it?
It's just, they could have had a Hispanic baby. It just seems like, okay, really? I guess because everyone was adopting Malawi babies that year, it was an accessory to have in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Madonna, Angelina Jolie.
Or maybe that was a realistic place that they were taking medical mission teams. to do the surgeries. Yeah, well, so maybe there were a lot of surgeries going on during that time, and that's why they chose that. Yeah, that's how they picked that area.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I loved that plot because I just, like, fantasize about adopting one day. And so that little scene where they bonded as a three-person family, I just watched it over and over again.
So
bawled tears of joy every time.
Yeah.
Over the course of season eight, I saw a lot of things come that were kind of, like, ironic. Okay, so we all know the backstory of the Chief, Ellis, and Adele, which is stellar. One, I'm a huge fan of interracial relationships. I think they're beautiful. I think we need more of them, and I think they're great. The end. And I love how Shonda just brings them to the forefront, and they're just so beautiful. Like, just the way she thinks about things is just so on the money. And Adele having Alzheimer's.
I cannot believe. I mean, I could believe it, and that was just so perfect for the story.
Right.
Sad, but of course that was going to happen.
Kind of karmic.
Right, yes, exactly.
Absolutely. Just, yeah.
It was like, oh, what? And...
Oh, and her relationship with the guy at the Alzheimer's, the home.
Right. Yes.
Oh, that broke my heart every time.
That's really an emotional topic for me because one of my first jobs out of college was giving tours at an assisted living community with Alzheimer's and dementia ward. And that really happens.
Yeah.
Like, people come there married, very happily married, and they form relationships there because they don't remember their spouse. And so anytime they show anything about her or her Alzheimer's, I can't contain it. It's really sad.
It is very sad. But I had to give it to him to be able to let her have it. Mm-hmm. You know, that was really, really hard. And it showed the emotion of him. And he had to kind of step it up because he did that to her. And it kind of is that what goes around comes around kind of thing. And he was going to have to suck it up this time because she's not doing it on purpose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. The way he did it on purpose.
Right. And at the same time, I mean, she also doesn't know any different than what she's doing.
Right.
So, like, let her be happy in the state she's in and leave her to be doing what she's doing because he can't be part of that world anymore.
One of the things I think that's really important that in the show that Shonda never forgets to leave out is the relationship between Meredith and the Chief. There was one episode where one of the seasons where a woman was battered and the little girl shot her husband 17 times. And the mom was trying to stick up for the girl. The little girl saying she didn't mean to do it, but the daughter was protecting the mom from the dad. And Meredith identified with that. And it was just such an emotional episode for me because Meredith, they wanted the girl to apologize to her dad. And Meredith's like, no, you're not going to apologize to your dad. And that led to a rift between her and the Chief. And at the end of the episode, they both met inside the locker room. And just Meredith had a moment. She let her guard down. And the Chief apologized for being the victim in her life because he was the victim in her life. Along with her dad who left, and we'll get into him, the Chief was the villain. The Chief was what caused the rift between the mom and the dad, and no one stuck up for Meredith. No one cared about Meredith because she was so small. So she has all this baggage, and amidst it all, she still is so resilient. And more things about season eight that were really cool too was Yang and Owen. Mm-hmm. You know, Christina.
That was tough.
Yeah.
I did not enjoy that journey.
I didn't either. It was painful. Well, first of all, their whole relationship was a little bit painful between, like, his post-traumatic stress and, like, just their whole... It just didn't seem like there was romance there. There was a lot of functionality.
I still feel like he should have been with Teddy.
Even after
the surprise wedding. I just didn't ever feel them together.
Well, the surprise weddings always on Grey's are always lame. Even with Karev and Izzy. And it's just they're not... The post-it wedding by far was one of the best. Best
George and Callie's surprise wedding, lame.
Yeah. It just doesn't make any sense. And it's like, why do they have to get married? Or, okay, how many times... Yang's been pregnant 3 times on Grey's.
No.
She was pregnant with Burke.
That's right.
She was pregnant... No, sorry, twice.
Twice.
She got pregnant with Owen, and then she does not want to be. She lost the baby both times. And, well, one, I think she had a miscarriage. And then second one, she had an abortion. And Owen wasn't okay with that. But what I do love about Yang is that she's so, regardless of what you think about her, she wants to be a world-class surgeon. And by golly, she is going to be a world-class surgeon. And that is inspirational because against it all, she is willing to do whatever it takes. It doesn't matter. Like, she's a robot. And I identify with that, too, because in this industry, it's go home or go hard or go home. The end. And you have people saying, you know, take your blinders off, focus on living the now. Sometimes you can't do that if you're trying to embark on a goal or a feat that requires you to give 199%.
Yeah, it was hard to see when she would give up because she was so just distraught and she couldn't do anything and she couldn't, you know, she just lost herself. And a couple of times, actually, seasons ago when they had the shooting. And then again with Owen cheating, she... It's weird to see her lose all ambition. By the way, now that we're talking about her, when she laughs when it's like a traumatic time really makes me uncomfortable.
Oh, no. Yeah. She was my hands-down favorite character until the shooting. And then when she couldn't bounce back from that, I didn't think she was as funny. And anytime it went to her, I felt so sad. And then I didn't like the Owen thing.
You didn't
so
like her as a bartender.
Okay, that was hysterical. That was she's funny. She makes me laugh the most. Hearth and Bailey. But she's not as much my favorite character as she was before that.
Bailey, best monologues on the show ever. She deserves her Emmys. Case in point, the chief says, we're scared. And she's like, we're all... chills. At the end of the shooting episode, at the end of the Izzy and George episode where they figure out who's who, she's... crying, and she says, you know, my husband left me. And then she's like, I can't believe I just said that out loud. And she breaks into tears, and she has a moment where it's all real for her. And that she says, we're scared. And she's like, we're all scared. Someone has cancer. They doesn't know what day it is of the week. Someone's going off to war. And it was just, Bailey is the glue of that show. And one thing I love about Bailey, your hair keeps getting better and better.
Thank you.
I don't care if it's a wig or a weave, bomb. But Bailey's definitely the rock of Seattle Grace, not Mercy West, Seattle Grace Hospital. I'm sorry, I don't do that Mercy West crap. Seattle Grace. Back to Yang, though. Yang, for me, I think that when Yang couldn't bounce back from the shooting, it was finally, okay, she's human. She's not super, she's not a robot. It was believable because we needed to see that from her. We needed to see tears from Yang. And when she cries, girl cries.
Oh my goodness, she does. Yeah. That is uncomfortable to watch.
Parking lot with Owen where he's like, see you later. Take care now. What is that? What? Why are you telling me this? And she gets it, and she says, see you later, take care now, because she knew she had to let him go. And the music that's playing there, I'm like, ugh, so good.
Okay, let's go back to who Yang is dating right now. She's engaged, correct?
No, Yang is married to Owen.
Wait, I'm sorry. Bailey.
Bailey's dating Charles.
Bailey is engaged to Charles, though, right?
Well, he proposed and said he wanted to move.
She proposed and
said... Well, he did, and then she... was mad, and then she proposed.
So they're still engaged, or they're not?
It's up in the air. There's nothing final.
Especially because he wants to move. He got transferred or something to L.A., right?
Right.
So what's crazy about it is it seemed like all of last season was one thing, and then the season finale, completely different show.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was a little bit confused by it. I thought I had missed an episode. So I had to go back and check because I was like, wait, how did they end up on a plane? Like, what happened? What did I miss?
No, you didn't miss. At the end of Migration, that was the name of the episode, they were talking about they're going to Boise to remove the conjoined twins.
Right.
After they got back from their boards. So that was just something that was steaming and stewing in the background. So that's how they got on the plane. They were all going to go. It was a world-class, world-breaking surgery. They were all going to go and partake on it. I think with that episode, that was weird was the way they introed the plane crash, though. Mm-hmm. It was like they should have showed the plane going down. But
it was so weird.
Shonda is going to do a rewind for the premiere. You're going to find out what happens after.
Do you guys think that she was going to do the rewind before? She planned that all along? Or do you think so many people were confused that she decided to do it?
Shonda writes the finale backwards. So they already know what's going to happen in the season. So she says, if you read the Grey's Anatomy blog, Shonda's very connected to her script. She says that she doesn't get out of bed for some time. She cries. She's depressed because she doesn't know what to do with these characters. These are her children. She stated one time that she didn't know if she wanted McDemi to be shot on her terrace. Because that's her terrace. She didn't want her, Christina, and Mare, anything that happened to her, Christina, and her Mare. Because she's very connected to these characters. So I think that she knew what was going to happen in the finale for season 9.
Can we talk about if we liked it or not?
I mean, I don't know how you could like it.
Season 8 finale, what happened? Yeah. What happened, Julie, in the finale?
Well, okay. First, backing up, there was this huge, huge plot point where they were all taking their boards. And we were going to find out who was going to stay at Seattle Grace Mercy West and who was not. And that was huge to me anyway. I was already really invested in that. Mm-hmm. And so whenever we get the results, we still don't know who's staying and who's going. Out of nowhere, season 8 finale, they show this plane crash. Down go half the doctors. And almost immediately, Lexi, a fan favorite, my favorite,
love,
gone.
Gone.
Lexipedia, unceremoniously gone.
Done. I've always loved her, and especially loved her more when she got closer to Meredith and they were really like sisters.
Yes. That also made me love Meredith's character even more because she didn't, at first she did a little bit take it out on her because of their whole family drama, but then she let it go and they were sisters.
Yeah.
And she took the parents out of it and this is my sister. And to watch them do that, I thought was a great storyline. And this just kills me.
She was just one of my favorite characters because she was as brilliant or more brilliant than the rest of them. And yet she was really the only one that was incredibly humble all the time and didn't really realize how great she was.
Right. Well, she was such a young girl. That was the thing I liked about her. She was such a young girl. She didn't try to be anything other than she was. She was always really honest. And when she made mistakes, she fessed up right away. And she was just kind of that little girl that kind of tripped over herself a little bit, but was super, super smart, just not 100% confident yet. Mm-hmm. But she was getting there.
I loved her with Steamy.
Yes.
And that was so, like, two people I never thought would be together. And then they were, and I was like, that works.
I had the opportunity to talk to someone from ABC right before Schuyler Lee got on Grey's. And the girl I was talking to, I can't name her name, because she was like...
Kyler?
Kyler, Schuyler. I prefer to say Schuyler, because Kyler sounds, like, weird. So Schuyler is more glamorous.
Schuyler, Kyler. Yeah.
And she said that Meredith's going to have a sister, and that she's going to be very likable, and she's going to be a real big turning point for Grey's. And I think that Lexi Grey was probably one of the most loved characters on Grey. And she just really, she tied it all together. And then I didn't believe that she wasn't believable as Meredith's sister to me because they didn't look similar. They had the same dad. I get it. But it just was like, Meredith, I don't know, something about their chemistry together, or just, I'm more of a visual guy.
She looked a lot like the mom, though. The mom that was Meredith's stepmom.
Like Susan, right?
Yeah.
Who died of hiccups.
No, she really did. So now they have officially killed off all of her family, except that one half-sister who almost died in the hospital the first time.
Molly.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, so I wonder if she's going to come back now.
So plane crash, though.
Okay, so Lexi... Very early on in the episode, gone. It was shocking. And then up in the air, we didn't know the fates of Callie. Derek, this master surgeon, we didn't know if his hand was going to be repaired. And then lastly, McSteamy.
And Arizona. Callie was on the plane. Callie stayed behind.
Oh, sorry. Arizona. I said it wrong. Yeah, Arizona.
Yeah.
But they're speculating that they may be two more deaths in the season premiere of season 9.
Really?
Yeah,
I heard only one more.
Shauna says, don't think that there's only one more. That they may be multiple deaths.
They have to stop killing people. Like, this is enough.
Well, on to spoilers.
Hold on. Before we get to spoilers, though, with all this drama talk, we have to talk about comedy. Because, face it, we all love comedy. And Fox Thursday nights Fox Tuesday nights are going to be stacked with comedy after comedy. Two new episodes of New Girl starring Zooey Deschanel, and it's one of the breakout shows of 2011 and 2012. Everyone loves New Girl, and they have the new one starring Mindy Kaling called The Mindy Project. And Mindy Kaling's been in a lot of guy drama. She's always that funny girl that has a great puns. Definitely going to be awesome. Premieres September 25th on Fox. Do not miss it. Funny, funny times. Great family fun for everybody. Thank you very much. Spoilers for Grey's Anatomy season 9.
Well, I was watching The Ellen Show, and Patrick Dempsey was the guest.
You're right.
He tweeted pictures of McSteamy back in the hospital. So he survived at least the plane crash. Immediately, ABC contacted him, and they're like, get those off there. Yeah. You're ruining it for the show. Do we have the picture here?
Do we have the graphic for that?
Picture that he tweeted?
I don't have it.
No, it's okay. No problem. Okay. No problem.
Yeah, you can Google it. It's not hard to find. ABC didn't cover it up that well. But basically, it's just him back in the hospital in his neck brace. So he officially made it back from the island where they had the plane crash.
I had heard that too.
And he had a huge hemothorax, which is you know, a huge injury to your chest and your heart and whatnot. So I don't know. I don't.
And his lady died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But from things that I've read, he's not going to be on the show that much longer. So he may be one of the ones that's gone.
No, it's confirmed. He's leaving Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah.
It's confirmed. It's a done deal. No, he's over Grace. He's moving on from it. And I have to say, Eric Dane, he didn't get hotter as he kind of he went vegetarian. Did you guys hear that? He went vegetarian.
I didn't.
And you could tell the difference in how he looks because from when he premiered in 2006,
less protein, less testosterone, less man.
I mean, it's like, dude, like you're a heartthrob. You're mixed steamy. Stay steamy.
Yeah, you know? I still love him. I think he's steamy all the way. Sign me up.
Predictions for season 9. I think this will be a banner year for Grey's Anatomy. I think finally all the things we want to come to fruition in regards to Yang, Meridare, everyone that really has been just, you know, we finally get a handle on Karev where he's going. I think Arizona and Cali.
Kill him off.
No! No.
He needs to tone it down a little bit and he needs to get a little bit more humanized, I think.
He's too angry.
Much, always. Like, we know you have a rough life, dude. We get it. Chill out a little bit. But you know, you're not the only one.
Like, I think that they give that to him, though, with him being a Pete's doctor. I think that was their way of softening him up, because he does have a knack for the kids, mm-hmm. and Arizona loves him. And
I love Arizona.
He's so mean, but he's still so mean to everybody else.
That's what I was going to say, actually, about some of the characters. They're very, like, heightened. Redhead.
Addison.
Yes. Uh-huh. She was super heightened. Like, mm-hmm. all of the things she would say were so intense, and her hair was intense.
Yeah.
And she served the purpose of intensity and the ex-wife. And it's like, mm-hmm. some of these characters just feel so forced a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Like, the friendship between Meredith and Yang, you feel is real.
Right.
Like, I almost feel like they go hold hands outside of the, like, they actually skip off into the sunset as best friends. But then some of the other characters, you're like, hello?
Well, Jen, that friendship with Meredith and Yang is going to be tested in season 9 because...
Isn't it always?
I know,
but
always.
It's almost because Meredith and Christina had a moment where Christina told Meredith that Owen's my person. Sorry about it. Mm-hmm. But with the plane crash, and she, you know, she was supposed to go off to Columbia and I'm sorry, Mayo Clinic, and you know they were going to depart, and Meredith was real sad about that. You know, at the boards when they were talking, when Meredith was
because Meredith's going to Boston. Like, if they're all going to different places, what are they going to do?
I know.
How are they going to be on the show together?
That's what we'll find out.
So, all right, let's make predictions. Who we think is staying around for this next season, and who we know isn't, and who we think might not.
I think everyone.
And now, predictions. You're after Buzz TV.
I think everyone but McSteamy and Arizona will be here. I think Arizona and McSteamy are gone.
You think April back?
Yes, April's back.
Okay.
Her and Avery were kind of cute.
So, Teddy gone, McSteamy gone, Arizona gone.
And Lexi.
Lexi, obviously.
But I like Arizona. Where is she going?
I know. Arizona can't be gone. But she did have a baby, like in real life. So maybe she's going to.
She's pregnant every season.
Yeah.
She's kind of been around TV a lot before most of the actors and actresses. She's probably moving on to something.
Well, her stepdad, Steven Spielberg.
Right, obviously. Yeah.
Hi.
Yeah. But how is Callie going to survive without both of them?
I feel like Callie, of all the people, is the most resilient lover on that show.
Yeah.
She's lost a lot of people.
She'll go back to men.
She has. Yeah. That poor thing.
But I did
her
read.
Her and Steamy will be back.
Yeah. There's going to be a wedding this season, for sure.
Hmm.
And, I mean, it could be Bailey.
Right.
Oh.
That's good. One of the candidates. It could be the chief if
he's Avery's
done with
mom.
His wife. Right. Yes, yeah.
Oh, right.
Could be them.
I think there's a lot in store for Grey's. And one thing that we will get after Buzz will also cover next week is some of the characters that have left Grey's and how they played a major role in the show that it is now. And just to recap some of the characters as well as some of the storylines that really didn't work for the show.
Right.
You know, until next time, you guys, I'm your host, Jason J. Carter. You can find me on Twitter at JJC Forever.
And you can find me at Kelly with an IE 079.
And you can find me at Jen the Jew.
And I'm Julie Parton. That's like Dolly with an I. JULIEPARTIN.
Thanks, guys, for watching. See you next week for the premiere of Grey's Anatomy Season 9.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.